So Matthew 9 and verse 27, you see this account, and you had two blind men that if you go back and you read Matthew chapter 9, the entire chapter, they had just come over from the Gadarene side. They came over the Sea of Galilee. And you can see in that particular account that before these two blind men showed up, you had Jairus coming. He came and he wanted to have Jesus come, and he had said that his daughter was even dead. And so before, and Jesus said, okay. And so he took off, and he followed him. And along the way, you have the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And then when he got to, and of course you know the story, she said, heard of Jesus. She came and touched the hem of his garment. And of course he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then after that account, then he enters into Jairus' house. And what did he do? He raised his dead daughter from the dead. And when he left that house, as he's leaving out, here are these two blind men. And it said, following him. And that Greek word for following means with a determined purpose. They weren't just lollygagging along. They're going to get something from Jesus. They were purposed to get something. Just like you when you're hungry. You're going to get something. You ain't messing around. I'm hungry. I'm getting something. And you're pressing through wherever that is, right? Or you're getting somewhere. So you can see here, and it says they were crying. Well, that's not whimpering. Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar, said that word crying meant to scream out at the top of your lungs. They were making some noise. They were trying to get his attention and making some noise. And isn't it interesting? Jesus never stopped. He never said, who is that? Bring them to me. What's all the racket? He never said a thing. He kept going to his destination. And so it says when he entered into the house, and some translations, some modern translations say that he entered into his house. And it's very possible he had his own house. And so when he entered in, these two blind men come trucking right in. They're coming in. Why? Because they're going to get something. And what was the very first thing Jesus said to them? He's trying to locate them. They've been hollering behind him. Thou son of David, have mercy upon us. They're carrying on. And what is the first thing Jesus say to them? He said, boy, I wish you'd calm down. Stop the racket. He said, believe ye that I am able to do this. And they said, yes, Lord. And then what did he do? He says, then touched he their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He never said one thing about his will. He never said one thing about that this is being done because of my power. He never said any of that. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So this is where we have faith involved. And so you can see here that Jesus located them, and once they said, yes, Lord, he touched their eyes. He laid hands upon them and healed them. And the power of God, just like the woman with the issue of blood, was released out of him because of what? Their faith. And so let's look at Mark 9, same thing. You can see the same type of account here in its approach. Jesus had to pick up where the disciples couldn't cast the devil out of this person. And then Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been going on? And he said, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. in verse 22, when he says, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Some of the modern translations, it says, "Help us if you can." That sounds like some people today. Lord, just help us. You know, we're in a fix. If you just see to it that you can help us, it'd be nice. And what did Jesus do? He kind of turned that around. And Jesus said unto them in this account, he said, "What do you mean if I can?" It sounds like something Jesus would say. "What do you mean if I can help?" And Jesus said, "Anything is possible if a person believes." So he was really trying to pinpoint with them, do you believe? What do you mean if I can help? Yes, you know, in other words, he's saying, I can help. What do you think about it? What do you believe? Do you believe, just like the other account, do you believe I'm able to do this? And so you can see this account here. So faith, as we call it here in this, faith is the determining factor here. Faith is necessary for us to receive from God. He that cometh unto God, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek him. That means I'm pursuing God with a determination to get something because I know it's his will. I know he wants me to have it. Just like we sing, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. So 1 John 5:4, let's come over and take a look at this. 1 John 5 and 4. These are important scriptures. 1 John, this is in the, just before we hit Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And it says, who is he? I'm sorry, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God. I like this. This excites me. Whatsoever is born of God. I'm a whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh. Say, I'm an overcomer. If you're born of God, you're an overcomer. Now, the world may not let you know that. The devil certainly won't. He's going to tell you you're defeated. He's going to play the videotape, as they say, and show you everything, every stupid thing we've ever done. We can't change that, but we can change where we're going. We can change what we have. Whosoever is born of God, or whatsoever is born of God, it overcometh the world. If it's in this world, we can overcome it. That's the scripture. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This word victory is important. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If we have the victory, what are some of the synonyms? Anybody who's good at words, what was a synonym for victory? Triumph. Win. So if you're a victor, that means you're a winner. You got to see yourself as a winner. Why? Because I'm in Christ. He won. He spoiled principalities and powers. Where? On the cross, triumphing over them in it, the cross. That means in him, I'm a winner. You know how they say down in Jamaica, I'm a winner man. I'm a winner man. We got some Jamaicans here. You know what I mean? I'm a winner man. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Not just because of me, but in Christ, I'm a winner. This is the victory that overcometh the world. I triumph, I win in this world because of my faith. This is what this is saying here. I overcome, I win, I triumph in this world. How? According to my faith. That's how I triumph and win. Not pleading God, not begging God, not whining. If you're a winner, I heard this minister say this, if you're a winner, you're not a whiner. If you're a winner, you have faith. If you're a whiner, you're not in faith. You're whining. You know how little kids do? I'm not picking on little children. We're all little children. Little children whine, don't they? You ever been in a long car ride? I did. We used to travel back and forth. We used to be in the back of the car. Whining. He touched me. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. Whining. Right? How does that make you feel if you're driving the car? Does that make you feel like I really want to be just loving on them? No, you want to say, if you don't stop, this car is getting pulled over. That's what whining does, right? That's whining, right? Just trying to make this clear, right? Sometimes that's how we sound as adults. Yeah, I'm so broke. I don't have this. I'm so tired. Whining, right? That's how sometimes we sound, whining, whiners. But if you're in faith, you're not a whiner. Think about this. Faith is convinced of something. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Faith is convinced is what? Another word for faith, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of something that I don't have. Well, why would I whine about it? Why would I complain? You know, another word, here's some words for I looked these up because I look these things up just for my own edification. Here's a word for whining, right? Whine, to complain. That's the biggest synonym for whining, for whine. If you whine, you're complaining. Here's another one, bellyache. You know how they are. I'm not talking about having a stomach ache. I'm talking about your bellyache all the time, right? Here's another one, you fuss. Let me say a few of these that might hit home. You murmur, grumble, you gripe about something. That's another word, gripe. That means to what? Whine, right? So if somebody's griping all the time, you go, whiner. You're a whiner. That's what it is. I don't mean drink wine. I mean you whine. You moan. You nag, right? So what I'm saying is that's not faith. People who complain all the time, people who fuss all the time, people who just bellyache about stuff all the time and complain about stuff, they're whining. And they're not in faith. Think about it. You just stop and people who complain about stuff all the time, they're not persuaded of something. They're not convinced of something. That means they're not in faith. They're in fear. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You're in fear. And so, do you think that when you whine to God, do you think you're going to receive anything? How would it go if these blind men were like, aah! Right? Do you think they would have got anything? No. Because he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He didn't say, according to your whining and complaining, be it unto you. They had to do what? They had to take something that was theirs, that was offered of God. Let's look at some other And here's the other thing. This little story, I heard this story Brother Hagin share. He said he was, you know, ministering somewhere for an extended period of time, and he was teaching you know, on faith and healing. And this person asked whether or not this woman was getting any better. Was she being, did her body changing from receiving what he was teaching? And over this period of time, he said, no. And you know what he said? This is exactly what Brother Hagin said. She never got the whine out of her voice. And she never received. She never got the whine out of her voice, the complaining. And so this is important for us. That doesn't mean that we're going to not go through issues and challenges. It's what's the scripture say in 2 Corinthians 4:13? We having the same spirit of victory. If you've got the spirit of faith, what does it say? According as it is written, I believed, and therefore I complained. It says, therefore I believed, and therefore I speak. You speak what you believe. And so sometimes we need to just assess, what are we saying? Winners don't complain. Winners don't bellyache. Winners win. Because this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. My faith is what? Persuaded of something, convinced of something. That what? I don't see. And most times, people that complain and fuss about things, complain about what? People complain about things they see. Things they have. They don't complain about things they don't have. They complain about things they have. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough this. We don't have blah, blah, blah. Right? So we need to do what? So scripture says in Mark 9, again, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are what? Possible to them that believe. So what you say is your faith speaking. So if you're whining, that's your faith speaking. Amen. Let's turn over to Romans 8:15 for a minute. Romans 8:15. I like that song we were singing this morning. It says what? Waymaker. That's our profession. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's what? Promise keeper. He's light in the darkness. My God, that is who he is. That's who you are. So that's our profession. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this. Verse 15. Love this chapter. It says, for we have not received what? The spirit of bondage. Again, to what? To fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we've received the spirit of what? We've not received the spirit of bondage, but we've received the spirit of faith. We having the spirit of faith. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So this is what we were saying before. Somebody who shouted it out before. But when we're complaining and whining, what spirit is that? It's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of defeat. Not a spirit of victory. Not a spirit of faith. So we have a choice. We don't have to believe what we see and feel. Hallelujah. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It It's good to meditate upon these chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians and verse 17. It says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, not fear and defeat. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is victory where the Spirit of the Lord is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, just back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 12. I'll give you a check in there. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received. Not we're going to receive. It says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. So he's come into us to reveal what's freely given to us. Freely given. We don't have to beg God. It's freely given to us. So I don't have the spirit of the world, but I have the Spirit of God. Let's say that. I don't have the spirit of this world, but I have the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God causes us, what does that the scripture say? He causes us to know the things that are freely given to us. So if you begin to know something, you have faith for that, don't you? Because you begin to know what's been freely given to you. So if you're in faith, you're going to be talking about what you have and not what you don't have. What am I talking about? What I have in Christ. That's what I'm going to talk about. I have healing. I have prosperity. I have. Do you talk about, oh boy, I hope I'm saved. I don't know. I'm not sure. No, you say, no, I am. I have what I believed. I have salvation. I have deliverance. I have peace of mind. I have joy. It's available. You have to take it. We don't operate based on how we feel, right? We operate based on receiving something that's promised us by what? Faith. I have to take that by faith. That's what I'm doing. I'm receiving by faith. So you don't talk about things that you don't know. The Spirit of God is sent to do what? To show us things, to reveal, to as it says here, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. You know, one thing, I heard a minister say this, is a very good point that he makes. He says, don't ever talk about things that you don't know. He said, don't talk about the things that you don't know, the things you don't have. Don't talk about it and meditate on it. He said, don't talk about what you don't know, what you don't have, and what you can't do. Don't talk about it. Don't meditate on it. If you keep saying, somebody says, well, what about this? And you say, I don't know. I don't know. You keep saying, I don't know, and you won't know. There's other ways to say something than saying, I don't know. You might have to say, I'll get back to you. I need to look that up. Yes. But don't keep saying, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You know, you're a parent. I don't know. I don't know. You'll never know if you keep saying, I don't know. You know, people can say the same thing. I've heard this. Somebody said, well, let's do this. Well, I don't have the money for that. I don't have the money. I don't have the money for that. I don't have the money for that. You keep saying that. I don't have the money for that. I don't have the money for that. You will never have the money for it. If you keep saying, yeah, but I don't have the money. You can say, I believe God is providing the money for it. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, right now we don't have the money for that, but I believe God is bringing the money for it. Yes. You don't deny what is. You don't say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, and you're sick. You don't call those things that are as though they're not. You call those things that are not as though they are. You don't say, I'm not broke, I'm not broke, I'm not broke, and you are broke. Now that's just silly. You call those things that are not as though they are. So it's okay to say, you know what, right now we don't have the money right now to do that, but I believe God is bringing the money so that we can. And I believe we have it now by faith. We're going to look at some examples. Think about this. When Jesus, I'll just jump ahead here. Think about this when we talk about things that are currently going on in our life. And we talk about, we can't do that. How are we going to do that? We can't do that. How are we going to do that? That's not possible. When the people followed him, and he fed the multitudes, did he say to the disciples, we can't do that. How are we going to feed 5,000 people? That's not possible. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? He never said that. What did he say? What do we have? What do we have? Give me that. Yes. He took a few bread and a few fish and he said, what do we have? He didn't say, oh my God, how are we going to do this? That's sometimes our MO. And I'm talking to myself sometimes. How are we going to do that? We can do that. How are we going to do that? Use what you have. Do with what you have and take some steps. That's if the Lord's directing you. And I'm not telling you to jump out there and do something silly if you're not directed to do that. But if you're impressed, I'll give you an example. Some people, you know, they feel call of God. We've heard this, Pastor Sarah and Clinton. You know, they were impressed to quit their jobs and go to Rhema Bible Training Center. They did not have the money to go, but they were absolutely convinced God directed them to go. And as they went with what they had. They didn't have enough. But as they went, God supplied and blessed. That's what they did. They didn't say, well, we can't do that, so I don't know, we can't go. No. They did not talk about what they didn't know, what they didn't have, and what they couldn't do. They didn't talk about it. They didn't say it. Because be it unto you according to your faith. Right? So light, if you start talking by faith, what you have, then in the light, you'll have more light. Light begets light. Darkness begets darkness. If you talk about what you don't know, more talking like that will beget more darkness, more not knowing. So those are the kind of things. Don't talk about what you don't have money-wise. Don't talk about that. Talk about what God has provided, what he has bought and paid for. You begin to release those words, and God will what? Direct your paths. The entrance of his word bringeth light. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, or decree or confess him, and he will direct your paths. Don't try to figure out the how part. You confess the word of God and he'll direct you to fulfill those things. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now let's take a look at this account. I want to look at this for a few minutes. Luke chapter 15. This is the story of the prodigal son. You're going to see something in this also. Luke chapter 15, and let's begin at verse 11. And let's look at this. Because you're going to see similarities in what we're talking about here. Faith and whining, or faith and complaining. So verse 11, we start, it says, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided. I want you to stop here. And I'm reading from the King James, so I don't have other translations in front of me. But this is significant. The younger son comes and says, I want what's mine. What you've willed for me, so to speak, right? But look what this says here. And he divided unto them. He divided what? Unto them his living. He didn't say he divided unto him. This is the younger son complaining, I want what's mine. He didn't say he divided unto him. He divided, it didn't say he gave him. It says he divided unto them. That means he divided between the younger son and the older one. Oh boy. Think about this now. Let's continue. And he said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his stuff, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's in a mess. And when he came to himself, you think? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise, see this? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Because his hired servants had food and provisions. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So you can see here, the father wasn't going after the son. He wasn't going to go after him. And so when, and you can see that here, and when the father saw him coming, he ran and I'm sure glad. In verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and his shoes, and shoes on his feet. So I guess Jesus doesn't have a problem with jewelry, nice clothes, and nice shoes. Because he don't have a problem with that. And bring hither the fatted calf, and I guess he doesn't have a problem with you having a good food either, right? The fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, the older son, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He had an attitude. And would not go in. He's pouting. Now he's pouting, right? He's what?
Whining.
He's whining. That's right. Exactly. He's complaining. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, hey, this is the whining here, right? The complaining. He answered, saying, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Right? He's complaining. That I might make merry with my friends, not with him and his father. So he's complaining. He's having a pity party. He's belly aching. He's fussing. Right? He's moaning. Exactly. Not in faith. Now look what this is, what it continues, verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He's really complaining here. This is what we're talking about. Not in faith. He's complaining. Not in victory here. What did Jesus say here? What did the Father say? And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. He parted, at the beginning of this story, he parted what was due them between the two of them. He could have been having a party every day. He said, all that I have is thine. And he's complaining that you never did anything. You never did anything for me, God. Why, God? How come, God? How come I don't have what this person has over here? How come Joey over here, my brother's blessed, but I'm not? How come, God? Whining. Being envious of somebody else's blessings. How come they're blessed, God? I serve you, right? You may not think you know anybody, but I'm telling you, there are people that have done that and think like that, that, well, why are they blessed and I'm not? It's the same story. And he said here, all that I have is thine. Let's look at something here. This scripture in verse 31 in the New International Version, it says, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Hallelujah. Everything I have is yours. So why are you complaining? Why are you coveting what somebody else has got and you didn't get? He said, everything I have is yours. It's already yours. Let's turn something here in this account here as we wrap up. I read that scripture to you, Romans 1:12, but as many as received him gave he the power to become the sons of God. Romans 1:12. Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember in this account here, he said, son, we're sons and daughters of God. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall be see him as he is. Now, go over to Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16. We are now sons of God. We've been born of God. Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit himself, or itself in the King James, beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs. Heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God, I'm reading from the King James, in him are yea or yes. All the promises of God in Christ are yes. The Message, I like the Message translation. It says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. He said yes. That means in Christ, it's yes. All the promises of God to me in Christ are yes. So what does that mean? If it's yes, then that means I have to do what? I have to reach out and take it. I have to receive it. I don't moan or complain about something that I don't have. I begin to find it in the Word of God. What is the will of God for me concerning that? And then do what? Thank you. I take it. I receive it. Let's, as we finish up here, look at 2 Peter. This is another scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's already given it to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness hath been given unto us. So we're children of God, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So what does that mean? Salvation is mine. Righteousness is mine. I take that. Healing is mine. Deliverance is mine. Prosperity is mine. Peace is mine. Joy is mine. It is mine. So what do I have to do? I have to reach out and believe by faith, according to your faith, be it unto you. I have to receive it by faith. Amen? So if it's mine, then why do I complain about it? There's no faith in that. This is the victory that overcometh the world. There's enough negative going around. People that, you know, just turn on the news and it's nonstop complaining about somebody that didn't do something for them. It's just complain, complain, complain. You feed on that all the time, and that can get in your you know, the tone of your voice. You begin to whine about stuff and complain about things because faith can come by that. You just keep listening to that and you go, yeah, you know, they ain't doing this for us and they ain't doing that for us. Go on your job and listen to that for a while. It's nonstop on the job. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the spirit of this world. And the spirit of faith doesn't complain. The spirit of faith does not fuss about things. Because why? It's persuaded that it's mine. It's persuaded that I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and the promises of God in Christ are yes to me. So that means what? I have to now what? Reach out and take it. And I'm convinced that it's mine. It's convinced. And I begin to do what? I begin to say with my mouth what I believe. That's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith begins to believe and say with what I like to call it with. There's a, you know, if you're around people long enough, you can pick up the spirit of what they say. You understand what I mean by that? It's not just words. There's an attitude. There's a spirit about what they say. Anybody who works with people, you're in counseling, you're in some type of service business, you know, you're behind the counter serving people. You pick up the spirit of what's being said. It's like somebody says, God bless you. Yeah, there's a tone about that. It wasn't just God bless you. There was a certain feel about that. That you may feel that I wasn't blessed by that. Right? But you understand the point. The spirit of how something is shared and said is key. And the spirit of faith, when we speak, there has to be a persuasion about that. When I speak, I'm convinced. That's the spirit of faith. It's not just I believe and speak, but it's the spirit of faith which we have received believes and speaks. And that spirit of faith is convinced of something. It's persuaded of something. Now, if you're not there yet, keep feeding on the word of God. Keep speaking it, and it'll come. Persuasion will come. Conviction will come. And you'll hear it in the person's voice. You'll hear it. When somebody's definite about something, they let you know. They let you know about it. Right? And so you can see that in that story about the prodigal son. There was no faith in that. He's complaining. And what did the father say? He said, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. All you had to do was take it. Stop complaining. And that's really what the father is saying to us. He said, look, in Christ, everything has been provided according to life and godliness. Just reach out and take it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.